Ed came to me just like Dave did and said, "Why do you think this incurable, terrible disease came upon me?" I said, "Ed, I have no idea. I had no idea of sin and sickness. I mean, you know, it might not be so difficult for me to grasp the fact that if you're out there murdering and raping somebody every day, that God might take you out. Now, I could probably put that two together, but when you got a man that's in church, like Dave was, like Ed was, and yet here the man has got terminal cancer at 42. I mean, you tell me, you think it's sin that did that? I would have to say, absolutely not. That's where I was. I would have never guessed that was sin. So I told him, he said, "Why do you think it came up on me? Since I exercise, I eat right, I do everything right." See, we're only looking at the fleshly side of it. So, you know, normally, you know, people say, if you eat right and exercise right, guarantee you won't ever have cancer. No, that ain't true. I guarantee that is not true. Because Ed Brock met the criteria. He exercised, done everything. And also, he was a good spiritual man, as far as I was concerned. But I only knew him on Sunday. So I told him, when he wanted to know, I said, "I only know that, go to God and see if he'll give you the answer." So Ed began to pray. Well, when he began to pray, one night he was saying, "Lord, I want you to show me why this terrible disease came upon me." And so he dropped his Bible and it opened to Psalms 106. Now I want us to go in the NLT to Psalms 106. And I want us to start with verse 1. And I want us to read all the way down at least to verse 16 or 17. And I want you to see what Psalms 106 says. "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Now right there, I mean, most people dismiss what he said to do. What are we supposed to do? And now how many times have you praised the Lord this week? If you've praised him when you got up in the morning, you praise him over breakfast, you praise him during the course of the morning, you praise him over lunch, you praise him in the afternoon, you praise him before you went to bed, you read the Word of God to yourself or to your children, and then you prayed over him, and you went to bed saying, "Lord, thank you for this beautiful bed, I'm so grateful." Now you're in the right track. But most people don't do that. Most people don't do that. You know, they don't do that. But the scripture tells us, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him half enough?" See, that's true, right? Verse 3 and 4. "Happy are those who deal justly with others and always do what is right." Okay, here's some little secret nuggets hidden down in here. Happy are those that do what? Deal justly with other people. Now, how many people don't deal justly with people? If you don't, it means you ain't going to have a happy day. You know, you're going to have a demon dragging along beside you, and he's going to make your life miserable. "Remember me too, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to me with your salvation." Verse 5 and 6. "Let me share in the prosperity of your chosen ones." Well, man, we all like that, don't we? "Let me rejoice in the joy of your people. Let me praise you with those who are your heritage. Both we and our ancestors have sinned. We have done wrong. We have acted wickedly." Now, that's a good thing to do. Repent of all of your sins for you and your relatives. That's a good thing to do. Verse 7 and 8. "Our ancestors in Egypt were not impressed by the Lord's miracles." Now, that's pretty sad, because you talk about some people that saw some miracles. "They soon forgot his many acts of kindness to them. Instead, they rebelled against him at the Red Sea. Even so, he saved them to defend the honor of his name and to demonstrate his mighty power." Does this bunch of heathens sound like us? I mean, you have people that come out here and want to see God do a miracle. That's the only reason they came. They want to see a miracle. They didn't come to see Jesus. They didn't come to know him better, to worship him or praise him. They come to see a miracle. "Even so, even after all that, he's so kind, and even if they rebelled against him, he saved them to defend the honor of his name and to demonstrate his mighty power." Verse 9 and 10. "He commanded the Red Sea to divide, and a dry path appeared. He led Israel across a sea bottom that was dry as a desert." Now, you talk about a miracle. That's a miracle, right? I mean, that's a real miracle. So, I mean, but, you know, that's kind of like the guy that says, you know, there really wasn't a miracle there. You know, the PhD in the seminary was trying to tell this little boy that he was so enthused because God opened the Red Sea and they walked through. He said, well, he really took them through the north end of the Red Sea where it wasn't but about knee deep, and said, so that's how they got across. And the little boy said, well, praise God, that's still a wonderful miracle. He said, well, why do you mean that's a miracle? He said, he drowned all them Egyptians in 6 inches of water. So he rescued them and he redeemed them from their foes. He led them across the sea and he rescued them from their enemies and redeemed them from their foes. Now, even though they was not putting him first, God was still pretty good to them, wouldn't you say? He done some wonderful things. So let's see, let's go on down here, 11 and 12. Then the water returned and covered their enemies. Not one of them survived. Then at last his people believed his promises. Then they finally sang his praise. Now this is what happens to us. We get healed of something. God does a miracle or a healing. And man, for a few days, we are praising the Lord. We might even tell one or two people about it, if you're lucky. I had a man that came here, I don't know, last year. And he was a Baptist deacon. Great man of God, loved God. He heard about our ministry and he had Parkinson's. Really bad. Shaking like that. Him and his wife came down here, and while I was teaching the word, he got up to go to the bathroom, and as he goes out the back door, God healed him right back yonder. He just went, Kow! His wife started crying. He's healed. Look at him. He's not shaking. He's healed. Well, the guy come up. I talked to him. He's just solid as a rock. Not nothing wrong. He hold his hand just as steady as I can and everything. And he leaves here going home. His wife is hysterical over his healing. 3 months later, she called me and said, Pastor, I got to tell you, my husband would not even get up in our Baptist church and give his testimony. He would not tell anybody. He said he's always been a very private person, but said he would not tell what God had done for him. And she said, I want you to know today, his Parkinson came back. He's shaking as bad as he ever was. But for 3 months, he was totally healed. God says in his word, when I do something for you, you tell everybody. Amen. And don't you ever, you come out here and get healed, don't you ever go tell them, Thurman healed me. No, I don't want to hear that. You tell them, Jesus healed you. You might say, if somebody demands who did it, you say, well, Thurman's a pastor out there and he did lay hands on me. But Jesus is the one that healed me. It was not me. I'm not about to take none of his glory. Because I ain't ready to die yet, you know. I don't want to die yet. I want to live a little longer. But then his people, at last his people believed his promises. They were finally singing his praise. And in verse 13 and 14, yet how quickly they forgot. Does that sound just like us? We get a wonderful healing from God and we forget within a week or 3 months or whatever. Some of us, it don't take long. We forget what he had done. They wouldn't wait for his counsel. I mean, you want to do it on your own. Well, see, there's a lot of people today in the church that don't wait for his counsel either. They don't even ask his counsel. They're going to do it their way or not at all. I don't need God's help. I'm a big boy. I can do this by myself. In the wilderness, their desires ran wild, testing God's patience in that dry land. Verse 15 and 16. So he gave them what they asked for. What did they ask for? What did they want out there in that wilderness? They wanted meat to eat. We are tired of eating this manna. We want some quail. We want some meat. And of course, when the Lord, Moses went to the Lord and said, Lord, your people want meat. He said, I know. I have heard their grumbling and complaining. He said, you can tell them tomorrow they will have all the meat they can eat. And of course, Moses was just like me. He said, God, if you killed every fish in the sea, you couldn't feed this multitude meat by tomorrow. Is that kind of where we are? We don't think, you know, I mean, that would be I mean, let's stop and think about this. You can understand now. Let's say that the entire, at least the Dallas Metroplex, I would assume in the Dallas maybe city itself and maybe the little suburbs, what, we 2 or 3 million people in just Dallas, not talking about Fort Worth and all the others. Just Dallas is about, what, 2-3 million? Okay, so 2 or 3 million. Okay, now, if God asked you to feed that many people meat tomorrow, what would you say? That's kind of beyond mine and your capability, right, young lady? But that's what God was telling Moses he's going to do. There was about 2 or 3 or 4 million people. And we forget, we think it's a little group like us. No. There was millions of them. There was 650,000 adult males. And if you got 650,000 adult males and then 650,000 adult females, you got 1.3 million people already. And you know that anywhere from 1 to 10 kids per family. And so there's no telling how many there was. But there was a lot of people. And so they're grumbling and complaining. God, we're sick and tired of this manna that you bring down that we go out here and pick up every day. Yes, it tastes like honey, but we want some meat. So God says, okay, Moses, tell them tomorrow. I'll have meat. So look what he said. So he gave them meat. He gave them what they asked for. But he sent a plague along with it. Now that ain't too good, is it? Oh, he sent a plague with it. And the people in the camp were jealous of Moses and envious of Aaron and the Lord's holy priests. Now, when he sent this plague or this wasting disease, the NIV, that night Ed was reading that scripture. He was reading it in the NIV. And when he came to that verse 15 in the NIV, it said, and God gave them their desires, but with it he sent a wasting disease. Ed knew that was him that God was talking to. Now here, I thought Ed's the perfect man. He's in church every Sunday morning, Sunday school. He's in church worship service. He's back every Sunday night. I mean, him and his wife love God with all their heart.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, All Things Are Yours, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.